are promising to challenge a new Louisiana law. The GOP governor signed a measure yesterday that requires all public school classrooms in the state to display the Ten Commandments. Other states have proposed similar bills, but Louisiana is the first state to pass such a measure. The Bank of England has kept its main interest rate at a 16-year high. This is SRN News.
As God calls us to serve Him, He calls us to study. Conservative Theological University provides studies on campus and online personalized distant education studies that lead to your certified degree. Earn your associate's, bachelor's, master's, or doctorate. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE today. Please leave your contact information for the staff to reach out to you. That's 1-800-GO-BIBLE for Conservative Theological University. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Come celebrate Independence Day with First Conservative Baptist Church, Sunday, June 30th. The celebration starts at 10 a.m.
Hail, hallelujah, I hear the voice of the Lord. Joy's gonna come in the morning.
The Redemption Trio will be in concert. There will be a special pulpit message from Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, then a barbecue lunch following the services. Celebrate America's independence at First Conservative Baptist Church, Sunday, June 30th, starting at 10 a.m. with the Redemption Trio.
There's a promise coming down that does it all.
First Conservative Baptist Church is located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road. First Conservative Baptist Church, expository preaching, changeless message for a changing world.
There's a promise coming down that does it all.
Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Love to have your dialogue and discussion, your input. We're talking about the Ten Commandments. We're calling this program today, this broadcast, Thou Shall Not What? The question that must be asked begs to be answered, ladies and gentlemen. Should the Bible, the Ten Commandments, the Word of God, influence public office, public policy in any fashion? Let me read a brief statement or two from an article that's entitled, Should the Bible Influence Public Policy? Then we'll take our next caller. This article reads, how much influence, if any, should the Bible have on an American public policy? There's a wide divergence in the answer to that question, depending on who's asked. Last week, the Pew Research Center reported on such differences. They write about those on the right. Most Trump supporters, 69%, would like to see the Bible have at least some influence on the laws of the U.S., including 36% who said it should have a great deal of influence. As to those on the left, Pew writes, about 7 in 10 Biden supporters, 69%, say the Bible should have very little or no influence on any law in America, including 53% who say it should have no influence at all. Gary Barra, who serves in the Pentagon administration and the Reagan administration and now runs American Values, reacted to the survey. Quote, why does this matter? As we're seeing now, with the absurd smears of Christian nationalism, those who say the Bible should have no influence quickly morph their religious bigotry into the belief that Christians are a danger to democracy. Gary Bauer adds this, once again, pastors and Christians who say, I'm interested in politics because it's divisive, not interested in it because it's divisive, are sorely mistaken. The government and the neo-Marxist left are very interested in you. One key issue, what is the source of our rights, God or government? It goes on to talk about, and we'll read it in a moment, the different statements from others in relationship to that question, should the Bible, should the Word of God have any influence in public policy? I believe that it should. To what degree? Love to hear from you, your dialogue and discussion on that. I believe we have Woody on the line. Go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Well, good afternoon, Doc. God bless you for the subject. God bless the state of Louisiana for taking an important stand. I have a couple things I pray you'll be patient with that are relative to the topic you're discussing right now. And the first is this, and if people don't understand it, I can't understand why they don't, but it's very obvious. There is a war on Christianity. You've essentially said that this morning. There is an open war on Christianity. Let's go back 40 years to the early 1980s when Richard Nixon wrote a really wonderful book, very prescient, very accurate as you look at what's happened since he wrote it, called The Real War. And in that book, he talked about things that happened under the, particularly under the Jim Economist Peanut regime, which is very much like the demonic regimes we've had in the past with the Democrats. And he said that there was an open war going on that Americans didn't understand. He called it the real war. And he said because it doesn't have the tools of tanks and bombers and things like that, we weren't recognizing it. But the outcome would be the same. It would be the destruction of our culture. And I think we've seen that come to pass. There is a war on Christianity right now, and Americans do not comprehend it. Mm-hmm. We're not standing up and pushing back against it, which first is to preach the gospel in season and out of season. Amen. But I want to propose one other action that we can take before I talk about a second issue, if you permit the time. Here's what that is. Christians, as you just said, are so blasted timid. Well, we don't want to get involved with this politics. Or, you know, I'm tired of these pusillanimous Absolutely. Pastors that don't want to risk their 501(c) by taking a stand for Christ. But now, here's what I propose we do. And I did this on radio a while back, and I didn't get any great takers, so we may not hear either. But if Christians would pray specifically for the removal of specific individuals from our government. You know, the Bible says, well, pray for your leadership. Well, I think we can make a good argument that we don't pray for the devil. We don't pray for salvation because that's not there. The devil influences and I think inhabits many institutions with our government and probably many people. I urge Christians to get on their knees and pray specifically against the removal, not by violent means, but removal from the political process of any that are in open warfare against our country. And that would start with the current man who is pretending to be president of the United States. Absolutely. And that miscreant that is considered the vice president. Right on down through Chucky Schumer and the others that don't need to be named. I challenge Christians to pray specifically by name, Father in heaven, remove this person from the political process and toss him as far away as you can and give us righteous leadership.
Amen.
If you'll permit me, I have another comment that will follow on with that. Do you have time?
Yes, go ahead.
All right. The second issue is this. An example of the warfare on Christians is something that's happening right now in our own church congregation. This is something that is painful for you because you've experienced it. I have a pastor that is desperately in need of a heart catheterization. He's had at least one heart attack and a stroke and two stents put in over the years. And his brother, a little older than him, also a pastor, had a heart transplant. So they have a history of heart issues. And yet the insurance company is delaying approval of a catheterization that is life essential. It needs to happen. And yet time continues to tick by without them taking an action or giving any indication that they're going to. Their doctor said, man needs it, we're going to schedule it and do it, and yet a major insurance company is not allowing it. Well, here's the issue in there. I know your tragic situation. I know a tragic situation of another pastor friend in the Brunswick area and another in California who during the COVID lost loved ones because of the perfidy of our government and our medical institutions. It was, as I've said, and probably you, murder that took place.
Absolutely.
I believe there's slow motion murder right now in the selective. Now, I have only supposition. This is an opinion, but it's happening too much. There's smoke, there's fire. People of faith are being denied procedures by the medical industry or have them forced on them as they did in COVID that is aimed at injuring the lives, let's say that, of Christian people. Now, I understand that's a lot to accuse, but I think the statistics with a careful study would bear it out. Bottom line, there is a war on Christianity. We need to post the Ten Commandments everywhere we can to let people know the basic standard that made this country what it is today and not turn away from it. And we need to pray for the removal of those people who are in our government who are doing the work of Satan.
Marshall, you're exactly right. One of the things that I can jump in and make a statement, what if we had the Ten Commandments in all of our schools across America? Do you feel that it would have an impact on those students that are being brainwashed and are being indoctrinated with the LGBTQ sodomite agenda? Would that help prevent that? Absolutely, yes. What if we had the Ten Commandments that's required in all public schools across America, from kindergarten through university? Would that stop the Thou Shall Not Kill movement that is the embracing of abortion? I say that it would. What say you to those particular things? In fact, I have said even if the Ten Commandments were highly posted in Dr. Fauci's office, perhaps Anthony Fauci would not have lied to the public about masks and about vaccinations, about the six-foot separation that is responsible for the murder of millions of people around the globe and at least 1 million people in the United States of America as a result of being forced to take the COVID vaccination based on his lies. How do you respond to those statements?
Well, two times I'd say yes, but let's start with Miscreant Cuomo in his comment about, well, most Christians couldn't even quote them. Well, he's exactly right. Our problem is we don't know our own faith. And
right.
I would urge when you're praying for the removal of specific people, particularly Democrats in government, then you also recite in your own mind the brief versions of the Ten Commandments so that every Christian knows what they are. But here's why it would work. It's called the process of subliminal manipulation or the subliminal psychology. Much of what we see and hear, we don't consciously know that we've heard it. And that's the way Marxism works. All these subtle messages you get in advertising or whatever.
Right.
But by a visual process of seeing the Ten Commandments on the wall every day when you just do a child does a visual scan around him, that's in his subliminal process, and eventually God will key a memory of that subliminal memory and make it a conscious memory. So yes, what we post on our walls, the Shema of Israel, you know, you should post these things on your doorpost and on your gates, and they'll be like frontless between your eyes. It is an imperative that we put before us at all times the Word of God and the foundations of this nation, and the problem is they're being erased. If I were to, as I used to do, if I would take a group of people to downtown Washington, D.C. when I was stationed there, and I would show them how the Lord God is inscribed in monuments and other places all over our National Mall and other places in the National Capital Region, proving that we are one nation under God. And if we would just understand that those foundations shall not be destroyed, okay? If the foundations be destroyed, what should the righteous do? If those foundations are not protected, if they're not known and they're not protected, then we will lose this real war that Nixon talked about that right now is being foisted upon the Christian faith, because now Satan is emerging from the shadows. He hates those who are to be his judges, the sons of man standing with the Lord Jesus Christ at what? Revelation 20:10, just before he gets tossed into the lake of fire. He hates us. His yes. hatred is unbelievable, and we're getting that right now, and it's aimed at other things against the Ten Commandments. Okay, I'm going to shut up. I appreciate you letting me speak.
Marshall, I'm thankful that you called. You're spot on with it. Thank you so much for your wisdom and for your remarks today. It's a blessing. Thank you so much for calling. God bless you. I believe we have God Derby on the line. Derby, give you the question or comment, please.
Yeah, I have 2 points. The first one is concerning the posting of the Ten Commandments in Louisiana schools. Well, we have now upcoming elections. We have 3 or 4 conservative candidates. We should ask them if they would be willing to advocate for the same thing happening in all of the Duval County schools.
Absolutely. I agree with that. Let's help to promulgate that idea and use that as part of the litmus test for those that are running, and I'll do the same.
And they should make that part of their platform. Of course, they might be too scared to be too timid to be too Christian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one of the problems. That's one of the problems we have today.
I have a friend that is a young friend who is in the military, and we have political discussions. And I say, well, our founding fathers were all Christians. Then he says to me, no, they were deists. And I said, so what God were they praying to? Where did they get their ideas? So how would you, Dr. Youngblood, answer to my young friend that says that our founding fathers were not Christians?
If they were to any person that says that, here's my response to them without any equivocation. Show me the proof. Give me any identifiable proof that they were not Christians, or at least God-fearers, if you want to put it that way. But the overwhelming majority, if not all of them, were in fact de facto Christians. You go back and look at some of the documents, some of the arguments in the producing of our Declaration of Independence, our Bill of Rights, etc. The Bible is referred to dozens and dozens and dozens, and may I say again, at the risk of redundancy, dozens of times in their dialogue, discussion, and debate in relationship to our founding documents. So my challenge would be not only to your friend that makes that statement, but to anybody that's listening today. You've got proof, you've got evidence, you've got writings that would prove that they were deists or they were non-Christians. Prove it. And an old cliche that says, put your money where your mouth is. Prove that they were deists or non-Christians, if you'd like to. It is a fact that it is being used today to try to hammer against the Christians. Wall Builders Organization, David Barton, has stacks and stacks and stacks of documents that were the writings, the research, the development, and the debate in the founding of our, with our founding fathers' founding documents. Wonderful, wonderful place. Wall Builders, I think it's wallbuilders.com. David Barton, that's a good source to go to and ask the question, were our founding fathers deists or Christians or God-fearers? What would the answer be? So I say it's just a bunch of hogwash to try to beat down and debate with a Christian to shut the Christian up. It won't stop me from talking and saying it, Derby, I believe it's time we get back to the foundational basics. For example, in the state of Florida, a number of years ago, one of our legislators in the House had legislation passed that requires the statement, "In God We Trust," over the doors of every classroom in the state of Florida. It is not being enforced. It's been left on the shelf with nothing being done. I think it's time that our legislators in the House and the Senate, I believe it's time the city council people knock off this garbage and the pollution of morals and ethics and values. We go back to the Word of God and stand for what God's Word says. And just as Marshall was saying just a moment ago, our previous caller, where the Scripture says, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And also what we find in 1 Timothy, where we're required to pray for those that are leadership over us. Yes, I say we need to. And we need to say, God, remove them. God, if they're against your word, remove them. God, if it's somebody running for office that's not willing to have a, doesn't have a spine or a backbone to stand for spiritual things and for the wisdom from God, don't even vote for them. And again, it goes back to what you're saying, Derby. I believe we need to have a litmus test for those that are running for office. I believe there needs to be a question. Are you willing to stand for God, stand for God's word? I'm not asking the question, are you willing to be a preacher, but are you willing to stand for morals and ethics and values? If so, how do you inculcate those morals and ethics and values in the hearts and the lives of those in office and the lives and hearts of those in the classrooms? Derby, I think it's time that we adhere to that.
In closing, I would like to say that the pilgrims, the settlers of this country that came over from Europe to make the USA eventually, they were Christians. They were not Muslims or Hindus or anything. They were Christians. They didn't call themselves deists.
That's exactly right. When the commandment is very, very clear in the Word of God in Exodus text, is thou shalt have no other gods before me. What does that say to you, Derby? It says to me, nor the God, it includes Allah, it includes Muhammad, any other God, it includes the thousands of gods in Hinduism, etc. But yet we have allowed the inundation of our nation with false gods and claim that that's all right. But yet the Ten Commandments are very, very clear on the position that we should take. That's the reason today we have the Islamic jihadist that's taking control in our nation as a result of not standing on the Word of God and the Ten Commandments in particular as we're speaking of today. Derby, thank you so much for your stand. Keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, listen. What if the Ten Commandments were applied to the Oval Office? Joe Biden would be in trouble. What if the Ten Commandments were applied to Anthony Fauci, Sir Anthony Fauci? Would we have had the lockdowns? Would we have had the lie about the six-foot separation? Would we have had the lie that the Pfizer drugs were 97% efficacious? Would we have had the lie that we were told over a period of 2.5-3 years by the CDC and the FDA and the federal government being promulgated, pushed, and authorized by the government itself, demanding that every person get the death jab in their arms? Ladies and gentlemen, if the Ten Commandments had been properly applied, that would not have happened. I'll read a brief portion of an article here, then we'll take our next caller. Holy Moses! This writer says, Louisiana is about to become the first state to require posting of the Ten Commandments in the schools. Understandably, opposition has swiftly mobilized. The measure, which has passed both houses of the state legislature, requires schools to prominently display the Decalogue on a poster no smaller than 11 inches by 14 inches. This article further says, the American Civil Liberties Union, Americans United for the Separation of Church and State, and the Southern Poverty Law Center are all frantic, quote, our public schools are not Sunday schools. They squawked into a joint statement as if the sight of the Ten Commandments will somehow cause innocent children to grow up to be rabbis or nuns. The Ten Commandments and the worldview they represent are woven into every fabric of our republic. The Declaration of Independence acknowledges the right. Our rights come from the Creator. John Adams said, our Constitution was made for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to govern any others. No offense, but the religious people, he did not mean Hindus or Buddhists. President Harry Truman said, the fundamental basis for this nation's laws was given to Moses on the Mount. Also, without an understanding of this, we will finally end up with a totalitarian government. Ladies and gentlemen, that's where we are today. This writer further says, the Ten Commandments posters challenging public education's revealed religion. Listen, it challenges the religion of the secularism in the public education as handed down by Karl Marx, Margaret Sanger, Nicole Hannah-Jones of the 1619 Project, etc., etc., etc. And I close with this statement from this article. America's public schools are saturated with gender ideology, diversity, equity, inclusion, indoctrination, critical race theory, training in the degeneracy. Elon Musk's son went from being a relatively normal teenager to a transgendered Marxist thanks to the classroom indoctrination in our public school system. I believe we have Jose on the line. Jose, go over the question or comment, please.
I think this is one of the signs of the last day that we are seeing. When you got these wicked, vile, and evil people in power trying to impose their indoctrination, that nobody had voted for them to, hey, go ahead and indoctrinate, go ahead and teach my kids this way. Nobody has given it the right, the authority to do it. They are doing it on their own for something so toxic, so evil and wicked as the alphabetical agenda of these people. But yeah, when they want to display the Ten Commandments, you see all these possessive people jumping and screaming and shouting. I wonder if they bring this to a vote, what the parents are going to do, which the parents are going to go for. I'm pretty sure they're not going to go for the wicked and vile and evil agenda. That's for sure. But I guess this is an imposed, they impose their agenda and nobody can say anything. But when the Ten Commandments are going to be displayed, oh my God, everything is out of order. I better have the Ten Commandments than the evil, wicked agenda of the let God burn them quickly, LGBTQ community. That's my comment, brother.
Absolutely. Well, Jose, you're exactly right. And I have used the postulating the question, what if we'd had the Ten Commandments in our classrooms for years and years and years across America? Would we have today the demoralization of our kids and thinking that somehow, some way, there's 157 different genders rather than God created two genders? Would we have today the embracing of the secularist Marxist viewpoint that's destroying and dividing our nation had we had the Ten Commandments in the classrooms? Had we had the Ten Commandments in the classrooms already, would we have the demoralization of our sons and our daughters and the grandkids in the public arena where they, by 62% of them, say that the Marxist approach and the socialist approach is the best rather than a capitalistic republic that we have? What would we have today as the generation that today think nothing about rape, robbery, mayhem that's parading our streets and destroying the morals and ethics and values? What if we'd had the Ten Commandments in our public educational system? Would we have the Marxist professors today that's indoctrinating and brainwashing our kids to think that the Jewish people need to be annihilated and the state of Israel should be destroyed? I believe not. I believe if we'd had the Ten Commandments in our classrooms, we would see a vastly different situation we're seeing today. If we'd had the Ten Commandments in the past, if we have it in the future, boys would not be allowed to go in the girls' bathrooms. Boys would not be able to go in the girls' shower rooms and dressing rooms, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, if we'd had the Ten Commandments. May I say, ladies and gentlemen, there's a need for us to turn back to God, turn back to the Bible, and recognize the good that can come from the Louisiana law that's placing the Ten Commandments requirement of the Ten Commandments in every classroom from kindergarten through the university if they take federal dollars. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues today. Looking forward to meeting you once again on the air as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. The Florida Georgia Truth Network, serving Anastasia Island at 91.9.
MediShare is like family. Someone to turn to when things are really rough.
When Terry received news about her cancer, she was thankful to have the support